I'll do that. And you're going to be asking your question right now, because as soon as we finish with Mr. GXM, by the way, the design you're following says there should be a 5-to-1 ratio between the small loop and the large loop. There's nothing magic about 5-to-1 with a magnetic loop antenna. That's an approximation that the guy wrote down. Maybe with your particular physical layout and your particular materials, it needs to be a 4-to-1 or 3.5-to-1 or a 6-to-1. So be willing to change the size. And the large loop is the one that's got the major current flowing into it. So that's the one that you probably made out of the really stoochy copper pipe and so on. The small loop doesn't have to be stoochy pipe. Piece of 14-gauge wire of the right length can do the job very nicely and very high efficiency. So once you're not so restrictive on the materials, and you can really change the size of the loop of the small one, as you make it a little bit bigger, is what I think is going to work, and instead of getting a 5-to-1, you're getting it down to a 2.5-to-1, you know you're going in the right direction. So every antenna, when you got the right coupling mechanism, is capable of giving you a perfect impedance match. It's just a matter of finding the right parameters of your particular components, the right sizes. And by the way, when you get the best reading, if you get the best reading with the variable capacitor all the way open or all the way closed, that's a clue that something is wrong. If you get the best reading somewhere in the middle of the range of the air variable capacitor, that's the hint that maybe you're running out of range as far as the diameter of the loop itself is concerned. So when you get the best standing wave ratio, even though it's 5-to-1, where is your variable capacitor set? Whiskey 2 Bravo Zulu, K2RIW.
The right way closed when I except, you know, just barely perceptible in background noise. All the way closed. But you're right. And I'm very excited now that tomorrow I will be experimenting with, first I'll try a larger, I don't know why, a larger loop for the coupling loop. And from there, that sounds great. I hope this was questions about tuning his loop, although probably he cannot change the parameters, let's say, of the coupling loop. So, that'd be very exciting to try that, Dick. I've been, as Dr. Roy knows, I've been pulling my hair out with this loop for a few months now. So, back to you, Dick, and then I'll hold on so I can ask my satellite question. W2BZ, back to next.
GXM questions for Bravo Zulu.
GXM recognize, be back to you in a second there. The fact that you're getting the best tuning with the capacitor maximum is strongly indicative that your coupling loop is too small. As your coupling loop gets larger and larger in full circumference of the small loop, the variable capacitor will give you the best tuning at a smaller and smaller capacitor setting. So, you're going to see improvement as you make that loop bigger. Of all the things you've been changing, you haven't made the small loop larger in diameter. Therefore, that's part of why in the last couple of months of fiddling, you haven't hit the right combination yet. You're going to, Rich. Hang in there. W2 GXM, K2RIW. Go ahead, Rich, number one.
Rich, Whiskey 2 Bravo Zulu, I have two questions for you. What kind of meter are you using to measure the SWR on your loop? And can you give me a ballpark figure about how much have you spent on that magnetic loop? And let's not include the time you spend building it. If you could just give that, I mean, that would be kind of valuable information. WB2GXM.
So it was only $20 for enough copper tubing, 3/4 inch, make a 7-foot in diameter outer loop with enough over, but I am 2 inches shy of the absolute 1/5 ratio, even Dick now says
But it is whatever one the outer loop is. I had enough left, so $20 for the pipe, and then the PVC, I made like a cross with like spokes of a wheel, just four points that attached to the loop, that I attached the loop to the PVC to make a round loop, and that was just a couple of bucks. So timed out, and our good friend Andy, WAQCDL, loaned me a variable capacitor, which I ordered one. It's not here yet. It's coming from Russia. But I did adhere to Dick's advice. Do not get, I don't need a $100 variable, capacitor. So I have a regular one, not a vacuum variable capacitor, coming from Russia. Go ahead.
H-O-S-A-Y.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a question for the group, Doug. W-H-O-S-A-Y, go ahead.
Just thinking that the problems that he's looking at are the kind of things that the VNA would give him a heck of a lot of clues as to what to do. All you have to do is look at the Smith chart and find out where the heck it is.
I do have a VNA. It's a Rig Expert AA30Zoom.0, which means it's just the circuit board. And it works very well. The circuit board plugs into the computer, and I have myself a great VNA.
Doug, we can predict ahead of time where he gets the best setting on, say, for instance, 40 meters, or I think he said, with the capacitor set at maximum, which means it looks like it's needing more capacitance. Therefore, we know that if he was using a VNA, he would see that it's mismatched with extra capacitive reactants. As he makes that bigger loop, the small loop, as he makes it larger in circumference, he's going to be moving in the right direction where now the variable capacitor will be capable of being set at less than maximum. I presume your small loop is as close as you can get to the big loop. In other words, one edge of the small loop is essentially touching the big loop. Is that true? BZ, Whiskey 2, Bravo Zulu, KQRIW?
That's absolutely true. In fact, I put electrical tape around the top of the outer loop, and so they don't touch each other. Wouldn't that throw things off, Dick, if they touched each other?
The answer is maybe no. It's a function of where the shield of your coax is connected to the small loop, and what's the distance between that and the place where the small loop touches the big loop. The possibility exists they could touch at one spot, and it wouldn't be disastrous. But the tape in there is a good idea. To have a scratchy contact between the two is less than desirable. So of all the things you were changing, you never did change the true circumference of the small loop. Therefore, that's the main reason you didn't hit it. You're going to hit it. By the way, do you have the ability tonight, before we sign off with the TechNet, of adding the extra circumference to the small loop so you can give it a quick try? Do you have that ability to do that tonight, Rich, number two? W2 Bravo Zulu, K2RIW.
Z and that you are. Vice versa, by the way. I absolutely have the ability to get into the net. And but another thing I'm pulling my hair out about is I've never tried to pull in a satellite signal. I've built three different types of antennas without any change, without any luck, and I bought two types of antennas without any luck. So that's for the next subject, and then I'll go ahead and I can easily make an outer loop that's bigger than that. One question I do have, with the outer loop, how can I tell on my DNA right away that it does need a bigger loop? Is there any reading like the Smith chart or whatever that would be able to say to me, yeah, bigger coupling loop is needed, Dick?
Yeah, I know you've got a variable capacitor on a small loop as the tuning mechanism. Does the big loop also have the equivalent of a variable capacitor? Are the two capacitor plates that are coming close to each other? If you had a grid dip oscillator, you could measure the fact that the big loop is resonating. The big loop is not an impedance matching device per se. It just has to hit resonance. So what is the mechanism by, is there a tuning mechanism on your big loop? Bravo Zulu, K2RIW. Bravo Zulu, if you gave us an answer, we haven't heard anything yet. Bravo Zulu, give it another try. Okay, I think I heard somebody RY. I heard just that much of the call. Go ahead.
Dick, this is David, Kilo Golf 2, Robert. I have a question about this setup. What kind of cable is he using to transport?
There are lots of dropouts on that transmission. There's a lot of noise on the repeater tonight. I think your call is Kilo Golf 2 Romeo Yankee, but with the dropouts, I'm not sure, and your name is David. What he's using as a transmission line, as long as it doesn't have a zillion dB of insertion loss, really doesn't matter, unless you're trying to worry about 50 ohm, 70 ohm, or 300 ohm twin lead, if that's what you mean by transmission line. But if he's following somebody's good antenna design, and he's using the recommended transmission line, 50 ohm line, and maybe they recommended the RG8U and he's using RG58, a short length of it, good enough, if you know what I mean. Maybe that's what you were asking, David. Kilo Golf 2 Romeo Yankee, question mark, K2LIW.
Brazil is not.
K2RIW from KG2RY. Yeah, sometimes you just get a bad cable and it messes everything up. I've had that experience a couple.
Okay, he can always put a dummy load on the end of that cable and measure the fact that he's getting a good standing wave ratio. Okay, Bravo Zulu. Let's hope the machine will work. They'll let you get back in there. Rich number two, Bravo Zulu, go right ahead. So, is there a method of resonating the big loop? Is it a little bit like a halo antenna where you've got the two plates that are coming close to each other as a capacitor? Bravo Zulu, K2RIW.
Zulu, listening to Bravo Zulu. No, Dick, I tried your method with the two plates. I really couldn't get that to work. No, the variable capacitor is attached to the outer loop, the big loop. Small loop, RG58U. Again, the small loop, in it at all. Like you said, moving it, trying to get it as close as I could, maybe even a little above the outer loop. In other words, the top of the small loop, pushing it, let's say, an inch above the outer loop or an inch below the outer loop. I've tried all that and it doesn't work. A bigger loop I have not tried, which I am going to try as soon as Roy takes over. Go ahead, Dick.
Oh, I thought the variable capacitor was on the small loop. The variable capacitor is on the big loop, okay? Right now, you're just trying to make it resonate. It doesn't have to work at the kilowatt level, so to speak. So what you use as a capacitor doesn't matter. If your variable capacitor was, say, for instance, 0 to 5 to 50 picofarad, in my example, and you're getting the best tuning when you're at the 50 picofarad, maximum capacitance, you could take another disc ceramic capacitor of, say, for instance, 40 picofarad, put it in parallel with the variable capacitor and try to tune it again. So right now you just want to find out where the tuning has to be. The exact capacitor doesn't matter as long as you're not putting a whole lot of high power into it. So there are ways you could have added extra capacitance to your variable capacitor. Is that something you ever gave it a try? Putting another capacitor, in other words, putting a pair of air variables in there, or putting another fixed ceramic capacitor in parallel with the air variable. Whiskey 2 Bravo Zulu, K2RIW.
Whiskey 2 Bravo Zulu. Study about our design.
And when you couldn't hear me before, I asked the question, looking on my VNR, what would have told me, just by looking at what this loop is doing now, what would have told me to try a bigger loop rather than a smaller loop? Go ahead.
The fact that your capacitor is not big enough, I think your antenna tuner, your Victor network analyzer would have told you that not only do you have a significant reflection coefficient, that's what's giving you the 5-to-1 standing wave ratio, but I think it would have told you that you're getting a, let me pick a number now, let me think about this one, tuned high to lower frequency. I think you would have seen an inductive reactance. Kind of crazy. Yeah, I think, here I'm not sure. It would have told you it's a capacitor reactance or inductor reactance. One or the other is the right answer. Right now, I don't know the answer to that one because you're talking about what you read on the small loop when there is now a crazy reactive coupling to the big loop and the big loop is not hitting resonance. So, are you telling me that you did add extra capacitance in parallel with the variable capacitor? You did add extra capacitance, and that didn't help. Is that what you're saying? And by the way, we're getting a fair number of dropouts on you, a lot more than on me, because I'm going into the eastern input, and so therefore we're having a little bit of trouble getting all the information across. Bravo Zulu, K2RIW.
Okay, that's something else that I have to work on. Sorry about the dropouts. No, I haven't tried that. I haven't tried anything other than to move the coupling loop and change its shape, all to no avail. But I sure am excited to try a bigger loop tonight and report back to see if how that has changed things. I'll go, let's say, 10% larger than a 5-to-1 ratio. Right now, I'm, 10% smaller than a 5-to-1 ratio. But that should be very interesting. Never thought of that, Dick. None of the designs say to do that. None of the readings that none of the investigation ever said to try different size loops. But I certainly will do that tonight. Back to you, Dick.
Yeah, by making the input loop larger in diameter, there's an 80% chance that's going to make an improvement. If it doesn't, don't be discouraged. Your next step is going to be add extra capacitance to the variable capacitor on the big loop by putting another shunt capacitor there, whether it be a disc ceramic or another air variable in parallel with the one that's there. By some means, you've got to add extra capacitance. The fact that you get the best tuning when it's at maximum, they're telling you it wants more. If you had the ability to increase the diameter of the big loop, I know that's a big mechanical change. That's the one case where you wouldn't have to increase the capacitor. So either increasing the diameter of the big loop or adding more capacitance, I'm pretty sure is going to walk you in the right direction. That makes some sense, Rich. W2 Bravo Zulu, K2RIW.
W2BZ, it absolutely makes sense. Adelaide. Short for Dr. Roy. But it makes sense, but I don't know why. Making the inner loop, the coupling loop, larger, would that add capacitance? Go ahead.
The diameter of the small loop and the diameter of the large loop gives you a coupling coefficient. And so right now you're either undercoupled or overcoupled and or out of resonance. There's two things going on here. So there's only an 80% chance that increasing the diameter of a small loop is going to make a significant improvement. From what I'm now hearing, I'm pretty sure that you're going to have to either increase the diameter of the big loop, if you want to keep using the same capacitor, or by whatever means you're going to add more capacitance to the tuning of the big loop. You had a lot of dropouts last time, so I'm not quite sure what all that you said. Try repeating it.
Bravo Zulu, K2LIW.
Well, you just did explain it. You just did explain it, why I needed more capacitance. But I did ask before, what reading on the antenna analyzer would have told me that I need more capacitance?
The fact that you need more capacitance tells me that the big loop is tuned to a higher frequency than you desire. And when a loop is tuned to a higher frequency than you desire, which means you're feeding it at a low frequency compared to the loop, I'm pretty sure it would have given you an inductive reactance. So if you were using a vector network analyzer, you would have seen a pretty big reflection, and the reflection would have been an inductive shunt. Let me think about that. I'm not sure. Either inductive or capacitive. One or the other is the right answer. And right now, I don't know. The main thing you wanted to know is you saw a 5-to-1, which means you didn't hit the right combination of resonance and coupling coefficient. Size of small loop to large loop is the major factor for coupling coefficient and variable, and the amount of capacitance or circumference of the big loop is what gives you resonance. Right now, you're tuned too high on the big loop is your major problem from everything that I'm hearing. So anything you can do to increase the diameter of the big loop or add more capacitance to the big loop is going to walk you in the right direction. Bravo Zulu, K2LIW.
The loop or the...
Go ahead. I heard nothing but loop. Go ahead. Please repeat the question because of dropouts.
Are you the outer loop? You're saying add size to the coupling loop.
The easiest thing for you to do is to add size to the coupling loop. However, the main factor that's wrong right now is the big loop is not big enough, or it doesn't have a big enough capacitor. You can make the big loop always hit resonance if you have a big enough capacitor, even if it's too small. If you insist on using the current capacitor, because maybe it's rated as high power, then you'd have to increase the circumference of the big loop. So to make the big loop hit resonance, you've got to do one of two things or both. More circumference of big loop or more capacitance on the big loop. You can make the big loop as small as you want if you're willing to use a big enough capacitor. Bravo Zulu, K2LIW.
What I'm going to do tonight is make the coupling. That's what I'll do. I'll make it a lot bigger. And I'll work down from there. It's going to be an exciting. We'll see what happens. And, okay, so hopefully the drop. I'll wait to ask you about the satellite antenna questions I have.
Yeah, there's an 80% chance that making the small loop larger is going to help. And the good news about making a small loop larger is if you go too far, there's various ways you can fold it to make it electronically act smaller. But the main problem, as I see it, is the big loop is not big enough in circumference for the variable capacitor you've got there. So you've got to, by one means or another, increase the capacitance. The fact that it hit maximum is telling you right away it wants more. And so just to make it work temporarily, there's all kinds of ways you can make a phony capacitor addition on the big one. You could do it with strips of tinfoil, of copper tape that are coming close to each other in parallel with the current capacitor. Put another ceramic capacitor in there. Put another air variable capacitor in parallel with the same one. You don't have to take out the air variable capacitor that's there. You're going to add more capacitance across it. Does that make some sense, there, Rich? W2 Bravo Zulu, K2LIW.
Will work because that's the easiest. The other ones, adding another capacitor
of the types you mentioned in parallel would be the second easiest. If I had another capacitor in this whole place, I would do that, but I don't. I do have another variable capacitor coming from Russia, a bigger one than this by a lot. And tonight, see how that works. Go ahead, then.
Are you telling me you don't have any other small capacitors in the house that are not transmitter rated, but you don't have any other capacitors in the, say, by the way, the air variable that's in there right now, what is its rate, maximum rating in picofarads? How many picofarads does it go to right now? Go ahead. They ask Andy that. W-A-T-C-B-L, are you listening, Andy? Do you remember what you gave me? Go ahead. If Andy is not there, describe it to us physically. What is the size? How many inches of width, length, and height? And roughly how many plates? And what's the spacing, what's the air spacing of the plates? Describe the capacitor. Go ahead, Bravo Zulu.
1 second, I just need to get it off my shelf. I'm looking at it, but not close enough. Just 1 second. Okay, it is a two-ganged capacitor. And on the first set, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 plates. And on the smaller, side, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 plates. So we have, let me make sure that one. So there are 12 plates on the bigger one and 10 plates on the smaller one.
Okay. And how big are the plates? Each plate has roughly how many square inches of area for each plate? Go ahead.
See, when the capacitor is completely open, I would say it's 1.25 inches. Each plate is 1.25 by 1 inch.
Okay. So we know the size of the plates, the number of plates, and what is the length of the shaft? That'll tell me roughly what is the spacing of the plates. The length of the variable shaft is how long? The rotating shaft.
The shaft is exactly 4 inches long.
Wow. That thing is going to sound like a 365 picofarad capacitor. That's a biggie. Wow. Are you following somebody's design, and is that the capacitor they recommended or using? Go ahead, Bravo Zulu.
Well, Roy and I went over this, and that's about what we came up with. Is that correct, Roy? AC2GS, which is Bravo Zulu in the next.
AC2GS, I hope that my signal doesn't break up too badly. I boosted the power a little bit.
Yeah, we've been going back and forth. This is based on a bunch of designs available on the internet. One of the problems I tend to think is going on is when Rich does his VNA sweeps, he does a rather wide frequency range, and at a wide frequency range, the resolution is such that the very narrow notch IQ resonance is sort of lost. So in my mind, it's still possible that there is a resonance somewhere in that range. It's just that neither of us know exactly where it is. And from that point on, I also mentioned to him that it would be nice if he had a little Vernier dial, because just moving that variable capacitor a touch is going to move it way past his frequency of choice, because magnetic loops have an incredibly high Q and a very narrow bandwidth.
Very fine, Roy. With your high power, you're a solid copy, even although there's some scratchies in there. You're sweeping this antenna with what kind of instrumentation? Are you getting an oscilloscope display? Are you seeing a notch, so to speak, that comes along at some particular frequency? So what are you seeing that's telling you you're hitting a 5-to-1 standing wave ratio at 40 meters? Bravo Zulu, K2LIW.
I have a
Rig Expert's analyzer, an AA30.0, and that's what I'm sweeping it with. And no, Roy, I've also increased the resolution greatly and just limited it to 80 or to 40 or whatever. The reason when I do a full sweep of all frequencies that the VNA is capable of, I just want to see how it looks on the whole spectrum, that's all. But 80 meters, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, 80 meters is better. That's the one down to 5 to 1, but on 40 meters, there are notches. It comes, it spikes down and spikes up after 80 meters and then stays up. It does come down again on the higher frequencies, but not interested in those. Go ahead.
Rich, have you ever watched the display while changing that air variable capacitor a little bit? And if so, what do you see? Over to you, Rich.
Done that a lot. I have done that a lot, and I don't see much at all, even if when it's fully closed. I don't see much change at all, just a little bit, because there is a function where it'll continuously sweep the VNA, and nothing to make a real difference. I got to believe it's just like you say, the solution is playing around with the sides of that loop. Dick, go ahead.
QSAY.
Doug recognized. Stand by a minute, Doug. Boy, you just said a mouthful there, Rich. You're telling me that if, for instance, you were trying to tune it to 40 meters and you're only sweeping narrowly around 40 meters and you adjust the air variable capacitor between maximum and minimum and you're telling me almost nothing happens, that's very mysterious. Bravo Zulu, give me a repeat on that, K2LAW.
USL on that, almost nothing happens. It's so insignificant as to not even, I thought that this thing is so off for some reason, but Roy and I figured that, you know, dimensions out. I did it with a sharp guy like AC2GS, and we figured the dimensions out, so the dimensions are on, except that smaller loop is 2 inches shorter than a 1-to-5 ratio of the smaller to larger loop. So, that's the situation. Amazingly, my luck, I broke two pins on my DNA tonight and was wiring them back together again before I had to go out and do this family thing. And so I don't know if I'll be able to get to measure it. My rig heating up at high power. I will be able to see if it'll tune with my antenna tuner in my case.
Rich, what is the diameter of your big loop? What is the diameter of a small loop? Roughly in inches. Go ahead.
The diameter of the big loop is 17 feet. Oh, the diameter is 3.5 feet. I'm pretty sure. Roy, do you remember?
What's the diameter of the small loop? That's close enough. What's the diameter of the small loop?
Small loop is 1 foot of the big loop. I forgot what that came out to. Minus 2 inches.
Okay, I think you said 1/5. A lot of dropout. So the diameter of the small loop is 1/5 of the diameter of the big loop. Is that true?
So 2 inches. It's 2 inches short. 2 inches short of 1/5 of the outer loop.
What is the outer loop made out of? What is the inner loop made out of?
Copper piping, 3/4 inch copper piping. That, you know, bendable, 3/4 inch.
Okay.
AC2GS?
So outer loop is 3/8 or something like that, copper pipe. Something copper pipe. And a small loop is also copper pipe. The small loop didn't have to be copper pipe. 14 gauge wire would have done. So what's the diameter of the copper pipe again, Rob?
Dick, it's made out of the same roll of copper pipe. They're both 3/4 inches. Both the small loop and the larger loop are the same. coil of copper pipe, 3/4 inch.
Wow. So the soft, bendable copper pipe, 3/4 inch. Wow. Oh, man. That's a lot heavier than it had to be. We've got SAY and GS in that order. W-H-O-S-A-Y, go ahead.
Hi, Dick. You know, I think your suggestion earlier was the, probably the simplest one. You need a grid dip meter or a transistor dip meter or something like that to measure what's going on with the larger loop. And you should be able to tune the thing to whatever it is, 7.2 megahertz or whatever frequency you're trying to get to, with your variable capacitor. And if you can't, well, that's where the problem is. You gotta be able to find out where the thing is to begin with before you continue, because it's basically wasting time fooling around with it. So if you don't have a dip meter, maybe somebody you know does have one. I have one. I don't know where you live, but I'm in Rocky Point.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head, Doug. The big loop is an extremely strong resonator, so that a grid dip meter held near it will tell you right away what frequency it's resonating on. I think his display device has got some mysterious characteristics that's making life a lot more difficult. And if he can power somebody's grid dip meter, your first characteristic is you want to have the big loop hit resonance. The second characteristic is you want the right impedance match between the small loop and the big loop. But that big loop has to hit resonance, otherwise you're nowhere. AC2GS, K2LIW. Go ahead, Roy.
Yes, Dick. I just wanted to add that his loop is a 17-foot circumference, which comes out to be a little bit less than 5.5 feet in diameter. He wanted one that big because he wanted to have a magnetic loop that would be usable as far down as 40 meters. So that's why it's a bit on the large and heavy side.
I understand. And with a big enough capacitor, it will hit resonance at almost any size that you want, if you've got a big enough capacitor that doesn't arc over at the transmitting level. As you make the loop smaller at lower frequencies with a bigger capacitor, you develop more and more voltage across that capacitor. You get a higher and higher Q resonance. Okay. His display device, I think, is giving him spooky responses from what I'm hearing. It shouldn't be that complicated. Do you think you can find anybody with a grid dip meter that can loan it to you? W2 Bravo Zulu, K2LIW. You've got to be able to measure the resonance in air of the big loop, no matter how you couple to it. A grid dip meter, where the coil of the grid dip meter, where the turns of the coil of the grid dip meter are in the same plane as the loop, and you hold that inside that loop anywhere in there, particularly near the actual copper, so to speak, you're going to see a very sharp dip on a grid dip meter. So does anybody have a grid dip meter that you can borrow? W2 Bravo Zulu, K2LIW. That was a complete dropout. All we heard is, can get it. I try again, Bravo Zulu.
Here is the SMA connector on this handy talkie, or it's my antenna. Go. I'm in Riverhead, as in Rocky Point.
Now, the machine itself has got all kinds of dropouts tonight. I don't think it's you. Okay, who else wants to add anything to all of the above? Give me your call letters right now, K2RIW.
WA2CDL Mobile just got in the car. Do you hear me, Dick?
I'm hearing you beautifully, Doug. Andy. Andy, what's your estimation as to the amount of picofarad of the capacitor he's using? I think you supplied it. Is it a pair of 365 picofarads, air variable? Is that what he's using? Because the capacitor hits maximum when he's getting the best performance. He's running out of range of that capacitor, he believes, with his particular display device. Although his display device is giving him so many spooky responses, I think he's being led astray. If somebody would loan him a grid dip meter, he'd find out right away what's going on. The big loop must hit resonance at the frequency you care about. That's the first criteria. It must hit resonance, and it's a very high Q resonance with a grid dip meter held nearby. The second criteria after that is the right coupling coefficient between the small loop and the large loop. That's secondary. The big loop has to first hit resonance or you're nowhere. Does anybody have a grid dip meter that can loan him? And what's your guess as to how many picofarad? The W2CDL, K2LIW.
All right, W2CDL. I was in a restaurant listening to this, and I put myself, I just got out of the call. So, as long as you can hear me, I just want to bring out a few other pointers which you guys are not aware of. I was at Richard's house, so I saw this for myself. First of all, in my opinion, where the loop is physically located in his apartment may be an issue of the reason why it's not resonating. Why I say that is because the pitch falls. Just a couple of inches away from your front window, which has a metal frame. It's a metal window frame around the window sill, or at a window sill. So you mounted the loop just a few inches away, and I remember saying to you, if you're going to really check this loop out the proper way, you got to get it into an open area where there's no obstructions. And also, when you tune it with the capacitor, you got to keep your body away from the loop because your body itself is going to change its resonance to some degree. I don't know. And Rich, let me just let it drop. 1 second.
No, the body resonance at HF frequencies is extremely minor. But the coupling to the window, if there's a metal window and this thing's in the plane of the metal window only inches away, you're absolutely right. That's a big interference. CDL, KQRIW.
Okay, so you agree with the location. So my point is, if you're really going to check this thing out, bring it outside, mount it on a mast somewhere, maybe in your front yard. Make sure it's also mechanically and electrically stable, because if I recall the way you showed it to me, the way you built it, I don't think it was soldered. I think it was just, I forget how you held it together. And it was just not a stable structure as far as the loop is concerned. It's got to be mechanically stable and electrically stable. That's the other point I want to make. Before you get it, as far as changing capacitors and trying to figure this out, get it into a place where there's no obstructions, no metal frames, no window sills. Get it out of the inside of your apartment and really test it in free space, and also make sure that it's that all the joints are properly soldered and everything is tight and so on, because if I recall, it was not like that. So I just wanted to bring that out as a point of reference. Dick, back to you.
An awful lot of what you're saying, Andy, is true for VHF frequencies. He's at an HF frequency. First of all, a human being standing near an antenna at an HF frequency, the human being is almost transparent. Unless you put your hands across the ends of the dipole, so to speak. No, the human being is transparent. That's a red herring. The window, metallic window nearby, inches away, that's a big interference. If he backs that loop antenna 3 feet away from that window, 5 feet away from that window, so that's in the middle of his living room, that's good enough. It doesn't have to be in absolute free space. You're thinking in VHF frequencies. As long as it's in the middle of his living room and there's no metallic objects, big, round metallic objects in the plane of the loop that are inches away, as long as everything is a few feet away, he will find the resonance. Does that, some of this make sense to you? First, over to you, Bravo Zulu. Bravo Zulu, how close is it to the windowsill? I didn't know that. And are the joints of the copper tubing, are they already soldered? Bravo Zulu, K2RIW.
outer loop, but it was the wires were crimped pretty heavily. And
BZ. There's something else happening, which I'm listening to, just to let you know. That's why I didn't get in. And by the way, I understand the body itself, my body, but the you know, again, the point was the physical location in his apartment, where it's located, and the mechanical construction. If he had a unfortunately, they're rather expensive. What he really needs is a good vacuum variable that he can change capacitance in 1 picofarad steps or so. Because what I gave him was a dual 365 microfarad, you know, picofarad variable cap. But and it's got a vernier shaft on it. That's built in, so we can have a little bit more finer resolution to it, but it's not the greatest at the time. So I gave for the time being to use. All right, back to you, WA2CDL. Again, there's some other stuff going on which I know about. That's why he's not getting in.
He's using a dual 365. Are you telling me he is using 700 picofarads? If so, that's a lot. He may be way below resonance. Is that what he... Is he using both of those halves of the capacitor in parallel with each other? CDL, K2RIW?
No, I do not think so. He's only using one half of it.
Okay. If he's only using one half, and he does the best performance at maximum, maybe he should be using the other half in parallel. And are you saying that this 7 foot or whatever it is, 6 foot, 5 foot diameter loop, it is held inches away from a metal frame window, and the plane of the window and the plane of the loop are identical to each other? Is that what we're saying? In which case, he's getting very tight coupling to that frame of that window. CDL, RIW.
Yeah, from what I recall, yes. It's parallel. It's not perpendicular to the loop. It's parallel to the loop. The frame of the window, I believe, from what I recall.
Okay, that's a huge interference. He's got to move that a few feet away just for the tuning procedure. That's not where he's going to eventually operate it, but to move it into the middle of the room of the house. He doesn't need complete free space outside. The room of the house, as long as he's a few feet away from big metallic objects like that, it will tune correctly. And the presence of the human being at HF frequencies, the human being is transparent. You're thinking VHF, Andy. The reflection you get off a human being on 2 meters is very different than what a human being is at 40 meters. At 40 meters, you and I stand close to an antenna like this, and the effect is spitting in the ocean. It's extremely minor. At 40 meters, Andy, you are 99.9% transparent. The B2CDL, K2RIW, even you.
Yes, I understand that. The reason why I said that is because of the way, you know, the mechanical construction of it and the fact that he has to, tune it, get close enough to tune the capacitor. It's not the fact that he's close to it. It's just the fact that when he turns the vernier shaft of the capacitor, it's, you got to do it very slowly, as was pointed out. All right, I just arrived home, so hopefully you can continue with him. But again, there's some other issues with the CDL. It's not his CL.
Andy, do you have a grid dip meter you could loan him as he backs it away from the window? And if the big loop hits resonance with a grid dip meter, you're halfway home, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I do. But SAY is closer to him. SAY is in Rocky Point, and he says he has one he can loan him. So talk to Doug.
Okay, the BJSAY. Is your grid dip meter, out of curiosity, is it a Heath kit or a Millen? Over to you, Doug, K2RIW.
I haven't seen it in a while, but I'm pretty sure it's a Heath kit. It's in my basement. I know where it is. I can lay my hands on it. But I haven't built anything that I need as a grid dip for a long, long time. I can drive out to Riverhead almost any time because I'm retired, but not at night.
I totally understand. For us people that are over 50 years of age, driving at night is nowhere near as comfortable. Okay. I think GXM and then BZ in that order had some other antenna questions. WB2GXM, K2RIW. Go ahead, Rich, number one.
You can do that. Let me give you a phone number. I guess that's the best way to do it. Yeah, am I still on the air?
You're still on the air.
631-821-1565. And the name of the fellow that's calling?
Doug, are you asking for W2BZ's name? Is that what you're asking for, Doug?
W2BZ, that's the fella, W2BZ. Well, I don't have to have his name. All I have to have is his call sign, but if somebody's calling me up, I have to know who it is. And by the way, do not try to give me a robo-call. I have a system that discriminates against them. I have to have a human being at the far end. WA2SAY, back to net.
Yeah, it is Whiskey 2 Bravo Zulu is the guy we're talking about. And let's see if Bravo Zulu has any further comments he wants to make before we go back over to GXM. Bravo Zulu, go ahead.
WB2GXM. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because I like to hear what Roy has to say and what Paul has to say. But I am interested in the price of these things, the true price, because I'm interested in this alpha antenna loop that goes 80 meters per cent. It's priced at $450. And, everyone's saying, oh, we only spent $20 for this and $100 for that. That's not the true price. They're not counting their time, their construction headaches, additional bug fixes, etc. It's not the true price. I'd like to know if you think $450 is a fair price for a mag loop that is promised to do what it says it's going to.
Yeah, that commercial product at $450 probably is a nice thing to use, but it is, by your and my standards, kind of pricey. I'd like to believe that somewhere on the internet, somebody has some articles about how to homebrew things like this. Let's see what Roy's got to say, and it's about time that we switch over to Roy. We've kept this kind of long. AC2GS, K2RIW. Go ahead, Roy.
Thanks, Dick. There's a lot of material on the web. There are, we were talking about
Groups IO, that forums for the Nano VNA. By the way, I will be posting a short, brief manual for the Nano VNA on my link page when I'm done tonight. But getting back to the magnetic loop, it looks very nice. I think it's primarily designed, aside from the fact of no sweat, you don't have to design anything, for easy setup and easy breakdown, because Alpha is sort of known as their kind of emergency service devices. And so it's a very well-engineered piece of equipment, but you're paying top dollar for it. If you want to know if there are designs, and there are forums, you can find forums that have people that only talk about putting together magnetic loops, and they have pictures and dimensions and specifications of results that they had. Just a couple of months ago at my other club meeting, I met a new ham who had just gotten her general license. She had a tech license, and she brought an iPad and asked a whole bunch of questions and went home and rigged up a magnetic loop that worked pretty good on 20 meters, and then decided to add a bunch of capacitors in parallel to get it down to 40 meters. So it is doable.
I don't know if you're getting QST, Roy, but in the last couple of months, there was a HF loop antenna, sort of triangular in shape or diamond in shape, as I remember, in one of the latest issues. I wonder if you saw that article. EC2GS, K2IW.
Yeah, there's a lot of very fascinating tweaks and modifications, although I would tend to suggest if a person really hasn't done much with magnetic loops, they go back to the old classics instead of reinventing the wheel. I mean, it might be a very interesting design with maybe some benefits around the edges, but, you know, if it's your first bout out with the design, you go with the classic standard that's been around for decades.
So, was Rich running from one of these classic designs? Was he duplicating something that already has track record? Over to you, Roy.
Well, it was more based on published calculators. It was kind of like plug in the values that you're interested in, and we'll tell you what the variable capacitor should be and what the efficiency is. And he wanted something that would operate down to 40 meters. If you stay up to 20 meters and above, you can keep it in a much more compact a form factor. As you go down in frequency, you can adjust a capacitor, but the efficiency goes down the basement. So in order to get a decent efficiency, you have to increase the circumference of the loop. And so we plugged in the numbers. He wanted 40 meters. And there were some other variables, and it came up with about 16, 17 inches of circumference. And, I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with the design. It's fundamentally really not that complicated a structure. It's two loops and a variable capacitor for the radiating larger loop. You want something that has very little insertion loss, because of the very, very low radiation resistance of the magnetic loop. So you want to keep down the attenuation from insertion loss down to a minimum, and that's why everyone tends to use things like copper tubing. You get it from the Home Depot. They sell it for refrigerator water supplies. It's not that terribly expensive. And again, I've heard other people who've done it, and they've been successful. They even put up their VNA results where they show the dip in their VISWA at their resonant frequency.
Zulu? Bravo Zulu recognized, but let me back up here with Roy. Roy, you said something that's good common sense. Everyone believes that a small antenna is low in efficiency and low in capture area. Everyone believes it. Absolutely not true. All those antennas that are inside your cell phone are extremely efficient, even though they're very small. A loop antenna that's made small will be high in Q, will be very narrow in tuning. That's a given. But as long as you hit resonance with reasonable materials and have the right impedance match, it will give you 95% efficiency, if you know what I mean.